Why Did I Begin My Journey is exactly what one of the esteemed speakers previously spoke on this stage, that we need women to come forth and to bring change. They cannot just shout about feminist rights. Thank you so much. So beginning with Pakistan, it's a blessed country from the mountains to the coastal communities, extremely rich in culture, gastronomy, archaeology, heritage sites, and languages. With a rich civilizational history all the way from the Gandharan civilization in northern Pakistan to Indus Valley civilization in southern Pakistan. If you look at 2010 Lonely Planet, they term Pakistan as the tourism next big thing. Likewise, in 2018, British Backpacker Society termed Pakistan's tourism as the world's top adventure travel destination. In 2019, Forbes termed Pakistan as one of the coolest places to visit on planet Earth. And in 2020, Best Holiday Destination termed Pakistan as the third highest potential adventure destination. With a country with enormous potential, it's really sad to see that tourism has only contributed to about 2.9% directly to our GDP and 7.3% indirectly. And this is a statistic from 2017. We also see at the same time, can we move to the next slide, please? Yes. In 2023, 84% of, we have reached to the pre-pandemic levels. However, we don't see the same sort of recovery for Pakistan. For Saudi Arabia, according to United Nations World Tourism Organization, it's one of the most highly attractive destination for tourists. And for Saudi Arabia, tourism is the next oil. So when we see Saudi Arabia's attention diverting from an extremely oil-dependent economy to tourism, it's a matter of thinking as to why we are not capitalizing this opportunity for our country. In 2019, tourism contributed to 1 out of 10 jobs and contributing to 10% of the total GDP. However, Pakistan's contribution, next slide, has only been about 5.8%, which is below what we can actually achieve. And we also see that more than 90% of tourists in Pakistan is basically our domestic clientele, not the foreigner. And why is that so? So let's explore it. Next slide, please. And this is the inbound arrivals data of people, of foreign travelers, and their nationalities. In 2019, we also saw relaxation in the tourism policy and a focus of the national government on tourism as a sector. However, because of COVID-19, we saw a drawback. Unfortunately, from government's prioritization of travel and tourism sector, we still stand at 120th position out of 140th in total. And in terms of enabling environment, Pakistan stands at the second least level, which is 123rd. Last but not the least, in terms of visa facilitation, we stand at 135th position from across the world, which is a very daunting figure. The problem statement is that the government is trying to attract tourists from abroad to Pakistan. However, when it comes to safety and security, when it comes to infrastructure development, there is no conversation going on. Now, there are many hindrances for foreign tourists in Pakistan. As someone who is a part of Pakistan Association of Tour Operators, it's a private entity that guides the government on how tourism should be managed and run in Pakistan. We see that there are no objection certificates which are required for certain regions. This year, they also introduced NOC for Peshawar, and we were not told about it. An 18 amendment has also set as a drawback for us instead of actually empowering the sector. We also see harassment of foreign tourists. So for example, if you travel from Islamabad to Gilgit, On the way, you have about 50 check posts. And each foreigner is asked to show their documents again and again and again. Imagine you visiting European Union or America and being asked to prove that you are indeed a tourist with a valid tourist visa and being forced to use the police escort with guns. This is not a very rosy picture. Tourists like free movement. It's a human right violation on our part that we are not able to provide them with invisible tourism police or with visible tourism police who don't look scary. We also see that tourist visa and trekking visa are separate. They should be one. Visa policies and visa processes should be streamlined, should be made easier. Unfortunately, even now, when we claim that 150 countries can obtain e-visa, 50 countries can obtain on-arrival visa, it's not as easy as is being claimed on newspapers. If you ask these foreign tourists, they are asked very weird questions in terms of how did you meet this tour operator? Why is it that you are using their service? Tell us about your family. Tell us about your source of income. Tell us about your travel history from the last 5 years. Tell us why do you want to explore Pakistan? I mean, seriously? So instead of facilitating inbound tourism, we are literally questioning their intent of exploring Pakistan. Globally, we don't really enjoy a very good reputation because of our history of violence and terrorism. And it is high time that we question this. Tourism is not just a toolkit of economic development. Tourism is beyond this. Tourism can connect communities. Tourism can be used as a tool to counter violence. Because when you explore people, when you explore regions, you explore Pakistan from a civilizational perspective, not from an Islamic perspective. And because you explore Pakistan from a civilizational perspective, which is 10,000 years old, you bring communities together. You bring youth together. You bring different nationalities together. Unfortunately, because of our processes, we are hindering it rather than promoting it. So just to give you an overview of what exactly happened, in 1990, according to Trade Development Authority of Pakistan, our first ever tourism policy was introduced. Because of lack of identification of relevant stakeholders, financial restraints, and lack of coordination, it couldn't really materialize much. Let's move to 2010 in the next slide. In 2010, there was another attempt of having a national tourism policy on board. But because of 18 amendment, it really couldn't be implemented much, and it was transferred to the provinces. Unfortunately, provinces were not given enough capacity building trainings to actually manage tourism better. Next slide, please. In 2019, we see Punjab taking a lead. In 2015, we see KPK tourism policy. I have studied their policies for my thesis as well. And unfortunately, they lack the vision of actually taking into account local communities with whom you want to have interventions with. Because of top-to-down bottom approach, we failed. The rest of the provinces, still, there doesn't exist any concrete policy on paper through which we can build our tourism sector. 2019, we devised another national tourism policy, which is a good document to read. However, it's still in a draft form, not published yet because of the change in government. It was supposed to be launched last year, but you know, because of bureaucratic procedures, change in government, change of focus at the national level, it wasn't published yet. So we cannot really blame provinces for not doing anything about it when you don't have guidelines from the federal level. Next slide, please. Now, the National Tourism Policy does mention about expert working groups. It does mention about NTCB with membership from the private and the public sector. It does mention about PTDC as an executive wing and not holding properties and not doing business. It does mention about establishing provincial tourism board. However, because it's not published, we cannot say it has worked yet. Next slide. The Department of Tourist Services was also transferred to the provincial level. That's where we got our license from, because unfortunately, we don't really have a registration process for social enterprises. So we had to register ourselves as a private limited for-profit company. We had three acts in Pakistan Hotels and Restaurants, Tour Guides and Travel Agencies of 1976, which haven't evolved. No additions, nothing. We did see that it, you know, kind of acted as a regulator to inhibit informal economies. Because you see, taxation is a big issue for us. If we receive payments from abroad, 1% tax is automatically cut. Our bank accounts are not really recognized much internationally. So there's a lot of problem when we receive payments from abroad. There's a lot of questioning onto why we are getting these payments from abroad. As a private limited company, it's extremely hard to transfer payments online. Again, not really criticizing the policies of State Bank of Pakistan. However, this is time to rethink about our focus areas. And because we are charging domestic clients according to the sales tax of the province, we have to basically ask our client to pay 15% of services tax for Sindh. Domestic clients don't want to pay that. Because of these legislative and issues on the way, the domestic client, as well as the foreigner client, depends on social media to explore Pakistan. And we all know what a havoc it has created with negative news coming up in terms of female clients being harassed in Punjab, in terms of the absolute, you know, disastrous state of Mari that we experienced last year. We also see that there is no data, there is no coordination or an online presence of all stakeholders onto one platform. Even when Pakistan exhibits itself as a tourist destination abroad, for a very long period of time, when I was studying in London, I clearly remember it was just the government of Gilgit-Baltistan that was showing its presence as a tourist destination. That's it. Later on, Punjab and Balochistan and KP took up. So it's high time that we promote inter-coordination between provinces because it's very important. In a South Asia exhibit, you would see 90% of space in countries abroad being covered by India and Nepal and Sri Lanka. Pakistani presence there is very limited. We still do marketing with a desk in front and a person at the back preaching about why you should visit Pakistan. We don't use modern technological tools to satisfy our customers. We don't use modern technology to promote tourism. For the very first time in Pakistan's history, Balochistan was exhibited in ITB Berlin this year in March, and we are extremely proud to say that we are the first woman-led travel company that not only exhibited Sindh and Balochistan on that pavilion, but we also used a virtual reality Oculus glass for our people who were coming to our stall to experience Mohenjo-Daro UNESCO World Heritage Site as it might have looked like 5,000 years ago. So there are people, thank you. And who has created this VR? Our youth of Pakistan, graduated from government universities, who for the very first time in Pakistan have created a product, and there have been multiple media presences of those groups. However, not a single investor has still reached out to them saying that, you know, there is $6.8 trillion market in virtual reality with less carbon footprint as compared to in-person tours. And this is something that we can explore. Still, we have been struggling since the past 3 years, pitching it to provincial governments, pitching it to potential investors. But it's very unfortunate that investors, including our overseas Pakistanis, don't really understand this vision much. Last but not the least, let's move to the last slide. NTCB priority areas are that government should act as a regulator and not run Pakistan Tourism Development Corporation's motels and hotels across Pakistan. Otherwise, for the private sector, it's a competitor, not a regulator. There should be a regulator to limit people who are working in the informal sector of tourism because they don't pay tax. The ones who pay tax are actually suffering in the private sector. There should be multiple public-private partnerships, district tourism management organizations, and investment in infrastructure because tourism also contributes to greenhouse gases. We don't have solid waste management or wastewater management systems in Pakistan for the local communities. And tourism, a single tourist produces 10 times more wastewater and solid waste as compared to a local. And if we don't prepare our sector for this, we would see increasingly see concretization in terms of hotels, as you can see in the Hunza Valley, which was used to be so pristine in 2013 and doesn't look the same now. There's a lot of focus of Balochistan and Sindh government of coastal tourism on marine tourism, because in the past we have had people and trade migration all the way from Muscat to Zanzibar to Gwadar, all the way to Jhirk in Sindh. However, unfortunately, the focus is still not on sustainability. Our hotel structures are still made of concrete. And if we don't really follow that, I don't think we would be able to produce a good GDP, because most of our GDP would actually be used in managing that wastewater and solid waste and the disastrous impact of climate change, in contrast to actually contributing of tourism sector to our GDP. Last slide, please. Apart from a very few universities in Pakistan, we don't really have much in terms of education. And we need this. We need to invest on this. If you look at the reports of United Nations World Tourism Organization, there's a huge investment across the EU and countries around the globe where they are investing heavily on entrepreneurship and tourism courses for high school students. We haven't really reached private universities or the public universities, because if you see, ICRA and Greenwich are new. Now Islamabad is new in terms of initiating a bachelor's degree in tourism. And who is teaching in these universities is also a big question mark. Are they tourism entrepreneurs? Are they experts from the hospitality sector? We really need to think it through. Next slide. And these are some of the recommendations that we have proposed. Obviously, because of limitation of time and slides, concrete steps that we have recommended that I feel we should really work on is we really need interprovincial coordination. There's a lack of trust at the provincial level on NTCB. Even now, we had a representation of Pakistan at WTM London. It happened earlier this month. And we did not have Balochistan there, or even Punjab. We need innovative startups, which are already being facilitated by the National Incubation Centers, supported by the Ministry of IT in Pakistan. We need to pick them, and we need to give them access to credit, because they don't have a big financial resource to bank on to actually bring change. And I can tell you from my limited experience in this field, there are amazing people working, unfortunately, in pockets in Pakistan, because we haven't been able to streamline their expertise at federal level to actually be able to multiply their learnings and expertise across Pakistan. We need research and planning and climate-friendly infrastructure. Otherwise, what happened in Thailand, pristine beaches being closed off for 9 months straight, is something that we cannot afford in Pakistan. We are the fifth most vulnerable region to climate change. And if this happens, it would be detriment to our GDP instead of actually contributing to our GDP positively. We need ease of doing business in tourism and hospitality sector. I can tell you from my own journey that it's been a pain to get the DTS license. It was a pain to convince the bank to open my business account because there is discrimination based on gender. I will not give you a rosy picture. It's hard. And it actually needs Junooni youth to be able to challenge this because it's not easy. We need improved governance. We really, really need improved governance. We cannot just say that, you know, economic reform would be brought about by tourism. We need good governance. If we don't have good governance, and God forbid something happens to any tourist, we already are, you know, a product of a very bad reputation globally. We cannot afford this. We really need good governance in terms of police, not escorted police, which are literally with you 24/7 while you are traveling on the road. In regards to taxation and law, money that we get from outside is okay, but when it comes to actually paying tax on domestic tourists according to the local provincial sales tax, it's hard. Domestic tourists don't want to pay 15% of tax. They would end up taking services from the informal sector, from these, you know, random people offering their services on social media. We really need to curb that. We need to bring that informal economy into the taxation because so that they pay tax. But we need to lessen that tax as well, especially for young entrepreneurs, emerging entrepreneurs. How can you expect them to pay 15% of tax? That's a lot. And those who say that women enjoy, you know, a certain tax evasion for a couple of months or years, and SMEDA is there to facilitate them, let me tell you, it's all on paper, it's not implemented. Because I pay tax, so I know. Last but not the least, we need investment for solid and wastewater management. And not just for this, but we also need education. Because tourism can have a detrimental impact on socially on local communities, as well as in regards to resources that are needed to run the tourism sector. And if we don't build infrastructure that's climate resilient, if we still build concrete hotels, big giant hotels in our two northern areas, which are already very vulnerable communities, then we cannot expect our sector to grow holistically. Thank you so much.